When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. The Ravens have made their selection. It is Clemson cornerback Nate Wiggins at pick number 30. He is your newest Baltimore Raven. I'm Ryan Mink here with Garrett Downing, and we're going to give you our take and analysis of this pick. And Garrett, this is a pure cover corner. The Ravens got a fleet-footed, sticky cornerback. Position of need, check that box. Eric DaCosta said it was one of his top 20 players. Check that box. There's a lot to like about Nate Wiggins.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the Ravens are fired up about this. They feel like you get a guy at the end of the first round who can come in and impact your defense immediately. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about what that could look like. And also, you get a guy who's a cover corner, potential shutdown cornerback at the back of the first round. Cornerback is a premium position. The Ravens are going to try to restock that position. It was a position of need, not necessarily a massive need in the short term, but I think when you look long term, it is. Also, I also think this is a case of best player available. The Ravens feel like they got a player very high on their board, a top 20 player at least for them at number 30 at a position of need. It just made too much sense for them, despite getting a ton of calls to trade back. They didn't want to trade away from him. They felt like Nate Wiggins too good. Even with all these teams calling us, we're not going to waste any time. Just take this guy, and you feel like you got a really good player who can make an immediate impact on this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's how the draft basically played out. The six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks, right? The quarterbacks flew off, so that's good news for the Ravens. Then offensive players in general. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a defensive player taken until pick number 15 was the first one. You had almost the first half of the draft was all offense, right? So those factors combined, and some of these cornerbacks just start falling down the board. Then you knew it was coming at some point. These offensive tackles start getting taken. They're getting plucked, including by the Ravens division rivals. Mm-hmm. Marius Mims goes to the Bengals, and then Faltanu goes to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Right. And so these cornerbacks just keep falling. The first cornerback off the board was Quinion Mitchell at pick number 22 to the Philadelphia Eagles. So at that point, I think Eric DaCosta, and he said this going into the draft, he felt like looking at the board and how the offensive tackles were going to go down, it looked like it was going to be tackle or corner for the Ravens, and there was a high likelihood that the tackles were going to go, right? And so corner was looking more and more likely, and that's how the board fell.
Yeah.
With all of them, 22 was the first, and then they started coming off the board, 24, Terrion Arnold, and so forth. The Ravens waited and got their guy, Nate Wiggins, who the third corner off the board, and they feel like might be the best cover corner in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean,
Eric Koss said they think he is the best.
Yeah, that was a quote. They think he's the best cover corner in the draft, and Nate Wiggins said that he thinks he's the best corner in the draft. You know, a lot of guys say that.
Of course, he's going to say that.
But I like that confidence.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, It was pretty shocking when you don't see a corner get picked until 22. Like, typically, your top corners are coming off the board in your top 10.
Position of need.
It is one of the most important positions on the football
field.
But
when you have this offensive tackle class that is so highly revered, and the pass rushers went pretty early, earlier than a lot of people thought, then that pushed the cornerbacks down. And the Ravens capitalized on it.
I also thought a couple points of note that were interesting in hearing from DaCosta. One of them is that he felt like if you don't get the corner in the first round, you're not going to get a corner really the rest of the draft who's going to be an impact player as a rookie. Yep. Like you might be able to do that as a, at the tackle position and the wide receiver position, mm-hmm. not at cornerback.
Which is a little bit interesting because it shows how important they felt like a corner, how badly they needed a corner for 2024. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't need necessarily a starting corner for 2024 in terms of too wide.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have Marlon Humphrey and you have Brandon Stevens right now in at slot. They re-signed Arthur Millett and Kyle Hamilton's still going to play that very versatile role. That's part of what makes him special. Right. So you didn't have like this big time immediate 2024 need on the surface, but it seems like the Ravens felt like that was a higher need than the rest of us did. Like we were sitting here saying, well, maybe they could sign another Ronald Darby.
Yeah.
Right, late in the process, and okay, that's your cornerback depth. Nah, the Ravens felt like it was important to get that guy in the draft, and like you said, Brandon Stevens is in the final year of his contract, is entering the final year of his contract. Mm-hmm. You know, they do have some long-term potential cornerback needs. Marlon Humphrey's getting older, right? Yeah. It's just how it works. Yeah. That's how life works. And so, like, I think that they felt like they had more of a 2024 need than we all realize, and as we all knew, there is 2025 and beyond needs. And they feel like they can be more versatile. Marlon Humphrey can play in the slot. You know, I don't think Nate Wiggins is going to play much in the slot. Sure, maybe he did some of that in college. But considering his more slender frame, I don't know that you want him banging down there around the tackles.
Yeah, I mean, he did play some there. I mean, he talked about, I can play inside, I can play outside, I can play safety.
He's an outside corner.
I mean, I think he's an outside corner.
He's an outside
like,
corner.
The build, the makeup, the great speed, like all of that screams outside cornerback.
Right.
But Marlon can slide inside. Brandon Stevens can slide inside. Of course, we already talked about Kyle Hamilton playing in that role. And so, I mean, I think the other part of it is depth. Like, having outside cornerback depth, Marlon missed a ton of games last year and was dealing with that injury throughout the season. So, like, you need to have depth at that position.
100%.
Brandon Stevens was pretty much healthy all of last year, but, like,
that's an anomaly.
How many times have you seen it? Like, cornerbacks get hurt. You need to have depth there.
You hope this doesn't happen, but it's probably a pretty safe bet that Marlon Humphrey and Brandon Stevens aren't both going to play all 17.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to happen. Right? So, like, your third cornerback, even if he's not necessarily a slot, is a very important position. Look at Anthony Averett, mm-hmm. came in and played a lot of snaps back when he was the Ravens' third corner. Like that, Ronald Darby played a lot of snaps last year, mm-hmm. and Rock Ya-Sin, he played some of those too.
Yeah,
like the Ravens kind of struck gold. You know, Ronald Darby, that signing really worked out for him, but you're not always going to get that fortunate. It's not going to work out that well every time.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is a really good pick. It still was a high position of need. And let's talk about who Nate Wiggins is mm-hmm. a little bit more. This dude can fly.
Mm-hmm.
He ran the 40-yard dash in 4.28 seconds at the combine, right? The Kansas City Chiefs just took the fastest guy ever at the combine in Xavier Worthy. And a couple picks later, the Ravens said, all right, we'll match that speed. We got our guy, Nate Wiggins, who ran the second fastest time at the combine.
Yeah.
Right? Like this guy, what it comes down to in the NFL, and John Harbaugh talked about it, is can you cover? Are you sticky?
Mm-hmm.
Are you on the guy or are you not?
Yeah.
And this guy is sticky.
It is. Well, it's funny, like when you have Xavier Worthy, who sets the record at with the 4.21, then the guy who runs 4.28 like gets no buzz,
right? Right. It's still like a crazy time.
Which is, when you're running the 4.2s, that is lightning fast. Like that is, it's incredibly fast. And so you get this guy who's athleticism is off the charts. Aaron Tekosta called him silky smooth. He's also young. He's 20 years old.
Asked about it. It was just like, he's an athletic freak, basically.
Yeah, ridiculous athlete is what he said.
Ridiculous athlete.
Ridiculous athlete, silky smooth, one of the fastest players in the draft, and he's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
So like, you have this very young, incredible athlete who is a really good player at Clemson, and now you add him to a defense where you can teach him the way that you want to play defense, but he's got all the skills. He's got all the foundation is totally there. And, you know, the question, like one of the questions on him is he's lean. You know, he was like 173 pounds at the combine, packed on a little bit of weight before his pro day and came in at over 180.
182.
And so, but he's
lean. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. And he basically said, like, Yeah. Like when I get into an NFL program, I'm young, I'm 20. I haven't filled out my body yet. Mm-hmm. And like when we're talking about guys who make the big jump in their first off seasons, he's going to be on that list. Yeah. Right. And so like when he gets in an NFL weight room, weight program, diet, you know, all the diet, all that stuff, right? Like he's going to fill out more. They're going to have a plan for Nate Wiggins and putting a little bit more mass on him. That would not surprise me. I mean, he's like 6 foot one. He has room to put it on. It's, you're not talking about a short corner. He's just slender.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the physicality, like there's one thing, there's the weight and the size that can, I think, be fairly easily remedied. Mm-hmm. And there's the physicality, which there are questions about that too. The Ravens didn't feel that there are legit, that there's concern about that. Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh said he comes up and hits, he'll smack some people.
Yeah.
Right. So like, as long as the desire is there, the attitude, the playing like a Raven, that chip on your shoulder and being willing to be physical, maybe he wasn't built for that kind of play at Clemson, but if you put on more weight, more muscle, and he has the willingness to play that way. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, also like when you talk about play like a Raven, when NFL Network rolls the highlights of Nate Wiggins and two of them are him chasing down guys, one forcing a fumble at the 1 yard line. Like yep. That screens play like a Raven to me. Like this totally. Is a guy who doesn't give up on a play. You know, he can be physical. He's got a knack for the football and trying to come up with turnovers. Like all that stuff to me says Raven. And it is interesting because, you know, like during this process, we didn't talk a ton about him. Like, mm-hmm. Shout out to our guy, Clifton Brown, by the way. Cliff
picked this one.
Cliff, yes, he doesn't do the we official asked you, who's, mock who's your with guy? Us, but Nate Wiggins was his pick. And so, you know, so we didn't spend a ton of time talking about him. Honestly, I felt like he was going to be gone in a lot of these mocks. He was mm-hmm. gone. The Ravens thought he was going to be gone.
Well, yeah, to be honest, like a lot of people thought he was going to be gone, and he didn't feel as much like a Raven as a Kool-Aid McKinstry does because he's a little bit bigger. Now, Kool-Aid's not known for his physicality either. Mm-hmm. But you know, you hear Alabama defender, and this sounds like a Raven.
Yeah, you're just you like, know, all right, Alabama.
I think maybe people like forget that Eric hasn't really been nearly as high on the Alabama guys as Ozzie, and Eric's making the picks now.
Yeah.
You know? But like, anyway, you know, you see like a slender guy in Nate Wiggins, and it just doesn't feel, and questions about his physicality and all that, and it doesn't feel like a Raven.
Honestly, I just thought he was going to be gone. I didn't think he was going to get there. I just feel like you typically see more than three corners before pick 30.
100%. 100%. And that too, right? But even a lot of people thought Cooper DeJean was more mm-hmm. of a fit, and Cooper DeJean didn't end up getting picked in the first round.
Yep.
When Cooper DeJean and Nate Wiggins are on the board at 30 for the Ravens, like I think probably a lot of people thought that pick was going to be Cooper, mm-hmm. right? Because of the versatility and all that stuff. But it shows to me, A, that, hey, we already have Kyle Hamilton. Do we need another Kyle Hamilton? And there were some people that said, like, yes, yeah, give me that or whatever. But like, how much can you use that? The Ravens wanted that outside sticky corner who can run with anybody. That's the guy that they feel like matches up with today's receivers, the guys that they're out there facing, these speedy dudes. Mm-hmm. And that's what they got in Nate Wiggins, is a guy who can just, he can mirror wide receivers. And yeah. That's what it takes in the NFL.
I also like in talking to him, I mean, his brief, like I like the confidence that he brings. And a lot of times when you talk to these guys, they have that confidence, but mm-hmm. like, in a short conversation, you can only judge so much from a 10-minute Zoom call. Mm-hmm. But like, he talked about how he followed around the best receivers on the other team last year. Like that was his assignment.
His basically. Z coordinator gave him that assignment.
Yeah, the defensive coordinator last year was like, "All right, whenever we're playing, whoever we're playing, you just follow around their yeah. best receiver."
My favorite part was when he was asked if there was one game that really yeah. stood out to go watch, and he named like five of them. He's like, "Yeah, Notre Dame, Florida State, UNC, UNC, blah 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 blah." Like it just kept going. He's like, "Yeah, I mean, all of them. I locked them down. So I don't know. Take your." Pick.
I know. I like that.
I like that too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I like the confidence. He said yeah. he's the best corner. He's
got a cornerback mentality.
Exactly, which I think matters. Like, yeah. So I think that the makeup, the player as somebody, John Harbaugh told a story like before the draft, you know, just talking, you know, to some of the coaches about how this thing was going to play out and felt like, is there any way Nate Wiggins falls?
Like, that would be a home run.
That
basically.
Would be incredible if it happened. But that's never going to happen.
What? And it turned out, you know, how it all played out. The pick before the Ravens were the Dallas Cowboys, who had traded back. They took Tyler Guyton, mm-hmm. the massive right tackle. And so now there wasn't, you know, your guy, Jordan Morgan, was already taken. There wasn't the obvious tackle choice unless you went into the Kingsley Suamatia guys, the Patrick Pauls of the world, all that, right? There wasn't the obvious tackle. We don't know if Guyton had been on the clock with Wiggins, where they would have fallen. But Wiggins was in their top 20. Like, Wiggins was their guy. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that they all this whole time were just like, you know, I don't think Wiggins can get to us. And when he got there, Eric Acosta said there the phone was ringing. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't know whether it was when they were on the clock or leading up to it, he had 8 different trade scenarios to go back. And you know how much Eric Acosta likes to go back and get extra picks.
Yep.
But Nate Wiggins was that good.
Yeah.
That they felt like they couldn't trade away from the player. Because as he said in the pre-draft press conference, if somebody you hope and pray that somebody in your top 20 gets to you. Mm-hmm. That's the dream. And it seems like the Ravens' dreams came true.
Yeah, on the trade front, so there was 8 different scenarios. And I asked him basically like, you know, I know you love picks. What went into that decision not to trade back there?
Yeah.
And, you know, he said that honestly, based on the analytics, he gave a shout out to one of the folks who works on the analytics side, Derek Yam. And he said that he did some analysis leading into this where it felt like the Ravens would get somebody between their 13th and 20th best player.
Right.
And Wiggins was that guy.
In their sequence.
In their sequence.
This doesn't include quarterbacks and all that stuff, I would assume.
Yeah. So he felt like you would get somebody in that ranking. And Wiggins was the guy and he was there. And so you're getting all these calls. I mean, obviously your teams were interested in trading up. The Carolina Panthers moved up a spot to get Xavier Legette at 32. And yep. So I'm guessing they were one of the 8 teams. So, you know, a lot of people were interested in moving up. But I think that like for DaCosta to turn down a trade, I think says a lot about their confidence in Nate Wiggins. Also, it goes back to my fifth year option.
I was just about to say that, especially with a young quarter at 20 years old, that fifth year option looks really nice. I mean, when he's 25, he's still not even in his prime, what a lot of people consider his prime.
Yeah.
And the Ravens and Eric DaCosta now have a track record of drafting younger players. There were fewer underclassmen in this year's draft class. Nate Wiggins was kind of the exception. Mm-hmm. Came out after his junior season at only 20 years old. The big takeaway here is that you and I can, you know, have cheers and have a beer to celebrate this pick, and Nate Wiggins cannot. Yeah. You know? But anyway, in all seriousness, like the Ravens have drafted young. Patrick Queen was a young player. Lamar Jackson was a young player, mm-hmm. right? They've drafted young. Zay Flowers is a younger guy.
Yeah.
And so they see value in that. I mean, Eric DaCosta came out and said, like, yes, we see value in him being a younger dude.
Yeah.
Get him in NFL coaching faster. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's still running that 4.28.
Yeah, you have room to ascend. Like you're still on the upswing.
Exactly.
Which most rookies are, but if you just get a little bit younger, then you can.
Well, I think there's certain players in the draft that certainly evaluators, part of their job is saying, has this guy kind of tapped out? Has mm-hmm. he reached his potential or close to it? Right. What's the ceiling on this guy? And with the tools, the athleticism that Nate Wiggins brings, I think the Ravens see a really high ceiling with him.
Yeah.
And he's already been a very good player in college.
Totally. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you some thoughts on what the Ravens could do on day 2 and day 3 of the draft. You're listening to the Lounge Podcast. We're coming to you from the SeatGeek studio. We want to give a shout out to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. They're an official sports betting partner of the Baltimore Ravens. And they've got an offer running that you don't want to miss. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the promo code FLOCK. If you are a new user, you can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Again, the promo code is FLOCK. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You need to be 21 years or older and physically present in Maryland to play. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. So they got the corner.
Yep.
And I thought it was really fascinating that Eric basically made the point, like, if you don't get the corner in round one, you're probably not getting one that's going to make an immediate impact on your team. I just thought that was a fascinating admission mm-hmm. from him.
Yeah.
But you could get a tackle. You could get a receiver.
Now, the question is, he must feel differently about offensive tackle. Does the same apply for offensive tackle? He feels like offensive tackle, it's so deep there.
Yeah.
You know, the question has been, these tier 2 offensive tackles, how ready are they? Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of talk about, these guys kind of need some work. The really high ceiling, again, but they need some work. You don't want to throw them into the fire. You know, Kingsley Suamatia, Patrick Paul, Patrick Paul's got a lot of starting experience.
Yeah.
Let's put that out there. Like, you know, he still needs to refine his game, but this dude's played a lot of games. Mm-hmm. So is Kingsley. He's played a lot of games too. So maybe the Ravens don't see it as they feel like they are ready to plug and play, or they feel comfortable with, hey, if Falele starts out, you know, and plays some, whatever, we have guards, we have in-house options where you don't have this glaring need that we have to throw these guys in.
I think the Ravens are going to take a tackle on Friday.
Yeah.
And they're going to take a tackle.
I agree. Yeah. I 100% agree. I'm just saying, what is that guy, player, is he going to be plug and play right away?
Maybe not, but I think that my hunch is that the Ravens will find a week one starter on day two. That's my guess. I don't know what position, because it could be guard. They have three spots to fill. I think they will find a week one starter on Friday of the draft.
Yeah, my expectation is that offensive tackle in the second round, there's a decent chance. I have that mocked, by the way. Mm-hmm. I have Kingsley, Swam, and Sia, so I'm sitting better than you right now, because you have the second round corner.
Well,
I'm looking much better.
Yeah, I don't know if you're looking better because you...
I'm looking better.
Well, you said a Donnie Mitchell, and then they just didn't take him. He was there, and then you were like, you know what? I'm gonna make the change. I'm gonna go with Coolis. So you really had two guys. And,
I went
and
over
your
two.
Guy. So your corner was there, and they took a player at your position.
I'm 0-2. I'm 0-2 right now. You're 0-1, but I have a chance of going 1-3.
You got to fight,
and you don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
I'm definitely not gonna hit my second round pick.
In all seriousness, like, I think that second round tackle is Roger Rosengarten is another one to consider there. Patrick Paul, Kingsley Suamatia, just giving you some names out there to keep an eye on. And the interesting thing in the second round for the Ravens at offensive tackle is so many teams have taken one already.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So there's just way fewer teams on the hunt for a tackle. Washington's one of them. Mm-hmm. I expect that the Commanders are going to take a tackle early in the second round. But that leaves another one. And I think that I would bet that's the Ravens' pick in the second round.
I know one thing we always see, and I feel like it always happens, especially from round one to round two, is everyone saying, will you trade up? Will you trade up? Because you look at the guys here, you're looking at like who's in the mix, and then everyone gets excited, and you spend all, you know, Friday thinking about it. You know, Eric DaCosta said like five times during the post-draft press conference, like, we're really not a trade-up team. That's really speaking to round one. But I don't think there's going to be some massive trade-up from where they're picking in the second round to early in the second round. Like, I don't see that. DaCosta has said over and over again, I'm not a trade-up guy. Like, that's not really what we think is the best approach. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the Ravens are going to all of a sudden move up to the early second round to get a tackle or a receiver or a pass rusher. I don't see that happening. I think they're going to sit there and pick.
Blake Fisher, another name to know, I would say.
Yeah,
to toss into that mix, another Notre Dame tackle who some people say are just as talented, if not more so, than Joe Alt.
Not as consistent,
but he's got the ceiling.
He was more highly recruited coming out of high school, I believe. Mm-hmm. And obviously didn't have the college career that Joe Alt did, but still a really talented player.
Yeah, so that would be a very... And he played right tackle at Notre Dame, so that would be a very interesting pick for the Ravens as well. Somebody to watch. And there's a bunch of receivers that are still out there.
I think actually Blake Fisher's a good one. I think that he's Notre Dame tackle. They've done that before.
They've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blake Fisher would seem to be a good match. And wide receiver, there's a number of them. You get in the second, third round here. If we're talking what maybe a third round pick could be, I think there could be a receiver at the second round that's interesting. And then you get into the third round, there's going to be a bunch of names, I think. And that the third round, I think, is more of a sweet spot for receiver if the Ravens are going to go that way, or edge. That's the other big need.
Yeah. I think if I'm guessing Friday, I'm thinking tackle.
You going tackle receiver or tackle edge?
Yeah. I think that's tough. I don't know. I'm honestly not sure.
Tackle running back.
Well, I have receiver in my mock. I had Brendan Rice in my mock in the third round.
I'll
stick to it.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a running back. No.
I mean, you could go tackle guard. You could go. That's what I went with.
Yeah.
I doubled down.
Yeah.
Not impossible.
It's not impossible. I mean, they could just say, we're just going to build up the offensive line. We told you we were going to do it. Didn't do it in the first round. We're doing it on day two.
Exactly. We're taking two shots.
Exactly.
It's like how they approach the tight end position.
Yeah, they've done that.
You just go back to back.
They've done that. They did it with Mark Andrews and Hayden Hurst. They did it with Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler. They did it with Dennis Pitta.
And Ed Dixon.
So like, it's
that's how they roll at tight end. It applies to offensive line here.
So if you want to check out all the press conferences from Thursday night, we got a chance to talk with Nate Wiggins on a Zoom and also heard from Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh. Those are posted in the Ravens Press Pass podcast feed. Head over there. Check those out. We're going to be doing a podcast again after the full draft on Saturday. So Saturday night, when it's all said and done, we're going to have another episode of The Lounge that's going to drop, and those Press Pass podcasts will be dropping throughout the weekend for all those player prospect pressers and when we hear from Eric and John. So thank you so much for listening. Make sure you leave a rating and a review and subscribe. We'll talk with you again later this weekend.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.